Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We'll recite together this morning verse 28 from Canto 1, Chapter 3. Extremely important verse out of the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ete chansa kala pungsa.
Ete chansa kala pungsa.
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam.
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam.
Indrari vyakulam lokam.
Indrari vyakulam lokam.
Mridayanti yuge yuge.
Mridayanti yuge yuge.
Ete chansa kala pungsaha.
Ete chansa kala pungsaha.
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam.
Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam.
Indrari vyakulam lokam.
Indrari vyakulam lokam.
Mridayanti yuge yuge.
Ete.
All these. Cha.
And.
Angsha.
Plenary portions.
Kala. Portions of the plenary portion.
Pungsaha.
Of the Supreme.
Krishnaha.
Lord Krishna.
To,
but, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead,
Swayam,
in person, Indra Adi, the enemies of Indra,
Vyakulam,
disturbed,
Lokam,
all the planets,
Mridayanti,
gives protection.
Yuge,
yuge.
In different ages.
Translation. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So before I read the 3-page purport, just a little background to the verse and its importance in the Bhagavatam. Amongst our acharyas, Jiva Goswami is particularly prominent in Lord Chaitanya's line, following Lord Chaitanya in establishing a comprehensive exposition on Lord Chaitanya's teachings. He does so through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. Brilliant. Exposition, comprehensive and systematic exposition on Lord Chaitanya's teachings, which is done by way of expanding and expounding the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in his doing this work, he has identified this particular verse as the governing verse that rules over all the other 17,999 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. He does this by referring to a literary, a Vedic literary principle. That Vedic literary principle is called Mahavakya. Vakya means utterance or sound. And Mahavakya is the principal sound. Another terminology is Paribhashya Sutra. Similar. Paribhashya means commentary. Sutra is a little code, an aphorism, a short terse saying, and similarly it referring to the language of the Vedic literature that describes rules of composition. Same thing. It generally comes early in a text. A text may present diverse subjects, seemingly unrelated, and this Mahavakya is the reposing place or that which connects all these seemingly unrelated things to one thing. And it, like an emperor, it rules over kings. As an emperor rules over kings, this Mahavakya rules over all other statements. So, referring to that principle, in his son Darbus, Jiva Goswami has said, this verse is such a verse of within the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are establishing other things. Mangala Charana, establishing the glories of the text itself. It doesn't have to be the first verse, but towards the beginning, in the first canto, third chapter, and this verse is spoken along with the other parts of chapter 3 in response to questions asked in chapter 1. The flow of Srimad Bhagavatam is a standard question-answer format. So, in this case, the persons asking the questions are the sages of Naimisharanya. They're headed by Shaunaka, who's a representative of the Bhrigu dynasty, very, very respected Brahmana group. And then there's Sutta Goswami. Interestingly, it's a side note, but Sutta Goswami is the son of Romaharshan. And Romaharshan is not, in terms of caste, he's mixed, or from a Pratiloma marriage. Pratiloma marriage means his mother was a Brahmana, his father was a Kshatriya. So in Vedic, in smart Brahmin culture, you don't have a marriage like that. And then the child that's born of a marriage like that is not what smartas would call pure Brahmana. All those sages headed by Bhrigu's descendant, Shaunaka, were hearing from Sutta Goswami. Why? Not by birth, not by caste, but by other qualifications, higher superlative qualifications that trump or supersede birth considerations. And that was, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami. And he not only heard it, this is in the first chapter, he understood it. Not only he understood it, but he assimilated it. And not only he assimilated, but he could explain it so it was readily understandable. So they were at his feet, literally, and eager. They expressed their eagerness to hear. That's a side note. Back to the... So there's there to receive Srimad Bhagavatam from him, Sutta Goswami, they do so in the question-answer format. And they present a series of questions, and then Sutta Goswami, very pleased with the nature of their questions and the spirit of their questions and the submissiveness of their inquiry, he says, such an audience as you all, it brings out the best. It makes it really delightful to explain these things. So, one of the questions of the six questions asked in chapter one was, please describe the forms of the Lord as they appear within this world, avatars. Avatar. So in the purport of this verse, 1.3.28, Prabhupada identifies the term avatar, and it means one who descends. That means there's a position in the transcendental world, and then there's this created realm that sometimes is manifest and sometimes is maintained and sometimes is withdrawn and then again is manifest. So from time to time, yada yada, or yuge yuge, as in this verse, those forms of the Lord appear. They descend from the transcendental realm into this realm, which helps us understand some distinction of them compared to the rest of us. The rest of us are taking our birth forced by guna and karma. And those that are in this other category, they're not taking birth for any reason. There's no impelling reason or compelling reason other than their desire to be compassionate and give the good news of the spiritual world. The people who are struggling in the material world and the means to return to the spiritual world. And other things, to set straight the disorder of Dharma and to diminish the influence of the Duskritis. The miscreant population, the demoniac kings specifically in Krishna's appearance. So in response to that question, chapter 3 begins with before the list of forms of the Lord that appear in the world, there's a description of, well, the Purusha avatars. Who are the Purusha avatars? They're the forms of Lord Vishnu that bring about the creation. So before he enters into the creation, he appears as the Purusha avatars, one of the categories. And then indicated within the Bhagavatam, as within other Vedic literature, Vishnu Purana in particular, avatars of Vishnu appear. I'm going to be addressing this question in the course of the class, this question that in your public Janmashtami program, almost for certain, someone that's our guest is going to ask this question every year. Anyway, and that is, why is it that the Hare Krishna people consider that Krishna is the source when everybody knows Vishnu is the source and Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu? Everybody knows that. So why do you folks say Krishna is the source? Different versions of that question. Or, Narayana is the source, if you're speaking to a Sri Vaishnava. Narayana is the source. Krishna is very nice. He's an expansion of Narayana. They're none different. He's an expansion of Narayana. But Narayana is the source. Big smile. Om Namo Narayanayana. He is the source. And Rama is very nice, and Nrisimha is very nice, and Narayana is the source. And on the authority of Vishnu Purana, they make that statement. It's not a wrong statement. It's in the Bhagavatam. But as Krishna is listed as one of those avatars, starting at the beginning of the chapter, that there's Purusha avatars and then forms of the Purusha avatars that appear in the world, that they have, the cosmic manifestation that they have brought about, the creation of, Krishna is in the list. And then comes this verse, that out amongst those incarnations, those avatars that have appeared, one amongst them is the source of all of them. So the binary processor mind goes, oh, wait a minute. Is it this or is it that? Is Krishna an avatar of Vishnu? Or is Krishna the source of Vishnu? Which is it? We're familiar with this seeming dilemma. And those of you that like tension questions, this is one. It's a good one. And I'm going to read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 2 of Adi Lila, where this verse is, in a simple way, being analyzed in a very intricate, voluminous manner, meticulous, Sanskrit-ruled manner. Jiva Goswami analyzes this verse, and just taking the grammar of the verse, it's clear. This isn't a public Janmashtami program. This is a devotee Janmashtami class in the morning of Janmashtami. I would not go through all this with a public presentation. This is for y'all, as they say in Texas. This is for you to have some clarity on why we say what we say, and why we, based on our Sampradaya's teachings, what's the authority behind why we say what we say and do what we do. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. That's the phrase. It's a wonderful purport. I don't think I'm going to read the purport. I'm going to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. To summarize, the purport is saying, we have this language that there's avatar and there's avatari. Avatari means the source, and the avatar is what comes from the source. Krishna. So the statement is, Krishna is the avatari. He is the source of all avatars, and by his own sweet will, he appears in this world as an incarnation of himself. Or it is from the spiritual world he descends. He is the source of all the avatars. I remember sitting here, I forget what was the occasion, but just explaining the same principle as follows. Most of us, maybe the Pujaris came through a different door, but most of us came through that door. And we existed before we came through that door. And then we came through the door, and now we're in the temple room. So we can make a statement. We came through the door. But we had an existence before we came through the door. All of those forms of the Lord, they appear as avatars of Vishnu, which indicate they appear through that doorway or that portal or the means of coming into this creation. They appear as avatars of Vishnu. But they have an existence prior to that. There's in Haridam, the Vaikuntha realm, the abode of Hari, they have their own planet. They exist there. And from time to time, yada yada, or yuge yuge, they appear. Exactly what this verse is saying. And so they appear as avatars of Vishnu, but they exist eternally in their abode, and they just appear through the door, or as avatars of Vishnu. No problem. No contradiction. A linear approach is, well, there's a contradiction, but there's no contradiction. And then amongst all of those, let's look at the verse. Ete cha angsa and kala. Well, Prabhupada has established a particular language that he uses to translate this word kala. You know, and it's kind of sets you back. A portion of a plenary portion. What's that mean? Well, there's a plenary portion. And like we just observed Balaram Jayanti. He's a plenary portion. He's a direct expansion of Krishna. We say every Balaram Jayanti. Balaram is the same as Krishna. He's Krishna's direct expansion. Just one is white like milk and the other is black like a fresh monsoon cloud. Shyam and Balaram. But they're the same. That's plenary portion. And then there's expansions of Balaram. They're in the same tattva or same category. It's just differentiating what their position is. How is it differentiated? Well, the portion of a plenary portion is likened from Brahma Samhita to Diwali. When on Diwali, we, you know, or maybe some of you have been in Vrindavan during the month of Kartik. And there's a lamp that burns the whole month of Kartik. The pujari brings the lamp out. And then they have little clay cups and they light from the lamp that burns the whole month of Kartik or month of Damodar. And they light a lamp from the lamp. And by the end of, you know, the Damodar Astakam prayers, the temple was filled with lamps. It's beautiful. I remember riding a train on Diwali evening in India. It was just fantastic because you're looking out the window, every home has lamps on every window. It's, you know, it's Diwali. You put lamps in the window. And from that, those lamps in the window were lit from a lamp. So one, the one that's on the altar, is the original, from which others are lit, and the others that are lit have the same illumination, same light, same heat. But that's just a relationship that one is the original, the others come from the original. So there's the plenary portion, and then there's portions of the plenary portion. It's just language to differentiate relationship. So this word kala, it indicates the Purusha avatars and the appearances of avatars through the Purusha avatars. And then there's Ansa, there's Balaram, and those direct expansions of Krishna. And it gets complicated. I won't go into the complication. You can read Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatan Goswami or teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And it's in a little bit in the purport, just, you know, so your head will spin a little bit. Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prash, Tad Ekatma, Prabhav, Vaibhav, Vilas, and so on. It's really technical. So it's either one of these two, Angsa or Kala. And there's subdivisions and further subdivisions and further subdivisions. You have to be a PhD to like sort all that stuff out. If you don't understand it, no problem. Just go to this one. Angsa and Kala. Portion, a plenary portion or portion of a plenary portion. And amongst those, because that's the list that preceded this verse, because that was the question, please describe the avatars, the forms of the Lord as they appear. So those forms that appear as Angsa or Kala, amongst them, one is the source of them all. So This is education 201, not 101. But here's this is in our line of disciplic succession. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, was younger and a student of Jiva Goswami, who was amongst the six Goswamis the youngest, and his two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, were direct associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what you hear is a simplification by Krishnadas Kaviraj of the far more elaborate and rigorous treatment of by Jiva Goswami of this verse. So here we go. I'm just going to read the translation. This is Adi Leela chapter 2, starting with text 67. He cites the verse. Eti Changsa Kalapung Samkrishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam. It gives the translation, same as in the Bhagavatam translation we just read. Short purport. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam definitely negates the concept that Sri Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, or Narayana. Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, supreme cause of all causes. This verse clearly indicates that incarnations of the personality of Godhead, such as Sri Rama, Nrisimha Varaha, all undoubtedly belong to the Vishnu group, Vishnu Tattva, Angsa or Kala, but all of them are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. That's the short purport, text 68. You may want to go back and read this again, just so that you're not like you're armed for a debate, but you're convinced on the flow of logic and reason that presents what it's presenting. The Bhagavatam describes the symptoms and the deeds of the incarnations in general, and counts Sri Krishna among them. Right, he's in that list that's before this verse. Counts Krishna as among them. This made Suta Goswami greatly apprehensive. Therefore, he distinguished each incarnation by its specific symptoms. All the incarnations of Godhead are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. That's Vishnu. Then comes the but. But the primeval Lord is Sri Krishna. He is the supreme personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations. Now we're going to hear the opponent. You familiar with this language, Purva Paksha? There's a debate, and someone makes a statement, and then the opposing party says, Purva Paksha. The opponent may say, this is your interpretation. But actually, the Supreme Lord Narayana is the Supreme Lord is Narayana, who is in the transcendental realm. He, Narayana, incarnates as Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of the verse as I see it. There is no need for further consideration. Harumph. Krishnadas Kaviraj addresses, to such a misguided interpreter, we may reply, why should you suggest such fallacious logic? An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of Scripture. Here's the principle. This is a rule of grammar. one should not state a predicate before its subject. Rule of grammar, right? The subject comes first, and then comes the predicate. Then he's going to explain. For it cannot thus stand without proper support. There is some scriptural reference to that grammatical rule. An unknown object should not be put before the known subject. So subject comes first, predicate comes second. Because the object has no meaning if the subject is not first given. It's the rule, grammar rule. Then he gives an example. If I do not state a subject, I do not state a predicate. First I speak the former and then I speak the latter. The predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader, whereas the subject is what is known to him. For example, we may say, this vipra means learned person, is a greatly learned man. In this sentence, the vipra is the subject. Here's this vipra, this person. There he is. His erudition is not known. He's known, but how learned is he? We don't know. So the subject comes first. The predicate is his erudition. The man's being a vipra is known, but his erudition is unknown. Therefore, the person is identified first and his erudition later. Just rule of grammar. You know, modern people they do all kinds of things, including not following rules of grammar. But Sanskrit, it's strict. In the same way, all these incarnations stated before this verse, they're known. But whose incarnations they are was unknown. First, the word ate, that's the first word. Ate, then cha. So ate. The word ate, these, establishes the subject. What's the subject? The incarnations. We've mentioned them. They're known. What's unknown? What's their source? Then the plenary portion of the Purusha avatars follows Angsa and Kala as the predicate. In the same way, subject, object, in the same way, when Krishna was first counted amongst the incarnations, he was mentioned before verse 28, specific knowledge about him was unknown. Therefore, the first word, Krishna, appears as the subject followed by the predicate, which is describing him as the original personality of Godhead. This establishes that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead is therefore necessarily Krishna. The unknown is connected to the known. Had Krishna been the plenary portion of Narayana, the primeval Lord, the statement of Sutta Goswami would have been reversed. Thus he would have said, here's the Sanskrit, Narayana Angshi Ye Swayam Bhagavan. That's not what it said. Narayana, the source of incarnations, is the original personality of Godhead. He has appeared as Krishna. Conclusion. Mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the sayings of authoritative sages. And that ends the... Well, you say something contradictory and become angry when this is pointed out. Your explanation has the defect of a misplaced predicate. This is an unconsidered adjustment. Only the personality of Godhead, the source of all divinities, is eligible to be designated Swayam Bhagavan, or the primeval Lord. when from one candle, when from one candle many others are lit, I consider that one the original. Krishna, in the same way, is the cause of all causes and all incarnations, because they're also causes. Then he goes on, please hear another verse. And preceding this one is another one. So he's like a lawyer, you know, establishing his case. When Prabhupada, 1970, published Nectar of Devotion and asked us to read it, to have classes on it every day, along with morning Bhagavatam, evening Bhagavad Gita, he made the statement that we, devotees, should be, as lawyers do, become very familiar with the law books. So when called upon, we can explain. Like, what makes a lawyer is they know the law books. And they can say, this is what the law says. And then not only the law says, but then there's cases where the law was tested. They know the cases where the law was tested. And they make their case before a judge. So this is like, you know, the reader of Chaitanya Charitamrita is the judge, and then the lawyer is presenting his case. And he's taking the time to say, the opposing attorney says such and such. The opposing view says such and such. And there are statements in other Puranic literature that say exactly, you know, Narayana is supreme, and forms of him come into this world. Those statements aren't wrong. Then there's another section where Krishna does Kaviraj. I think it's in this section. He says there's all kinds of statements like that, and if you have the big picture, then they're not wrong. They're not inherently contradictory. You have to have the big picture. And if you don't have the big picture, then you quibble. This one says this. That's my favorite. That one says that. That's my favorite. And then you get groupism and people quarrel. We all know what that's like. It's in the age of Kali. People quarrel. So how do you get the big picture? Well, you need, like, you know, the Supreme Court. You need the topmost pramana. What pramana mean? Pramana means evidence or means of knowing something. The English word is epistemology. That's really nifty sounding. How do you know anything? You know, become an existentialist and ask that question, or meet one. And they're like, how do you know anything? Nobody knows anything. How can you know anything? Because they don't accept any authority. So you don't accept any authority and you really can't know anything. Nothing matters. But those that are followers of the Vedas, or even they're not followers of the Vedas, someone that's reasonable, you can make a presentation to a reasonable person. Well, the senses are imperfect and the reasoning faculty makes mistakes, and therefore we need an infallible source if we're going to have infallible knowledge. And the Vedas are that source. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion. But so Jiva Goswami, once again, as directly Lord Chaitanya, his uncles Rupa and Sanatan, being trained in Srimad Bhagavatam from them. And how did they get their training? Well, one of the ways they got their training was hearing directly from Lord Chaitanya and his empowering them, this is not a small thing, to realize everything that he told them. And not only that, they had the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam directly from Gadadhar Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya would sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And all the devotees would sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. So they also heard from Gadadhar Pandit. And who is Gadadhar Pandit? Srimati Radharani. Who knows Krishna better than Srimati Radharani? And then Jiva Goswami was trained by Rupa and Sanatan. And then he wrote, based on, you know, with all credit going to Rupa and Sanatan, and of course Lord Chaitanya, who imparted realization unto them, he wrote this beautiful exposition, comprehensive exposition on how do you know anything. I mean, one little part of it is this Pramana Kanda, the section of the Sandarbhas that the authority that Jiva Goswami establishes is Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's so many things to say. It's like we could go on for a long time. Just say a couple more things. Try to limit myself. One of those so many things is right in the purport, paragraph 1 to third paragraph of the purport of this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, that his analysis of this verse, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation, you know, forwards and backwards. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth are full, are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. Now, listen, this comes, this word, svayam, right here. In this stanza, the word svayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the summum bonum. Summum bonum is borrowed, it's a Latin term used by Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, because he was a walking encyclopedia and he knew so many things, including this, the importance of this word, summum bonum. Like, you know, it's everything. It's a Latin term that means the absolute truth, that from which everything comes, is summum bonum. And this word svayam, word for word, means in person. It's so Krishna, his person, although he appears as a list in the list of incarnations of Vishnu, he's the source of Vishnu. He's the source of the door through which all the incarnations appear. And he exists on the other side of the door. And in the Goloka Vrindavan is the ultimate abode of the Supreme Lord. What does that mean? The ultimate abode of the Supreme Lord. In the language of Brahma Samhita, two verses in the language of Brahma Samhita. The first verse, the invocation verse, is also the Paribhasya Sutra of Sri Brahma Samhita. And we know Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. There's so many karanas or causes. These Vishnu forms, they cause things. And the cause of those Vishnu forms, Sarva Karana Karanam, is Govinda. And he's the, amongst Ishwaras, he's the Parama Ishwara. Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir. So this is the saying, you know, Krishna's the source of all the incarnations, what's the source of Krishna? That's kind of like the logical question that people will sometimes ask. What's the source of Krishna? Well, he's Anadir. He's Adi, he's the original, and Anadi. There's no origin of him. Anadir, Adir, Govinda. So, allow me for a moment to just appreciate, again, Jiva Goswami, because he's explained this verse. Although the word Krishna has appeared in the first line, Ishwar Parama Krishna, Krishna is same as in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna. Instead of saying Sri Krishna Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So Krishna is in that category, Vishnu Tattva or Bhagavan category. But Govinda is very specific. Govinda is in Goloka. Govinda is in Goloka. again in the language of Brahma Samhita, the topmost of all, even above the Vaikuntha realm, because from the Vaikuntha realm avatars appear in this world. Rama has his Vaikuntha realm, Ayodhya. Nrisimha has his Vaikuntha realm. Varaha has his Vaikuntha realm. They have their Vaikuntha realm before they come as avatars. So they come as avatars of Vishnu, but as Narayana is in Vaikuntha, these are forms are also in Vaikuntha. Goloka namni nijadamni tale chatasya devi maheshu haridamasu teshu teshu te te prabhava niyatashvi yatashchayena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This form of Govinda, he's the Adi Purusha. And of the abodes, the verse is saying, it's the topmost abode, and in hierarchy, Lord Brahma looking up, there's Devi Dham, then above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, and above Mahesh Dham is Hari Dham, and then above Hari Dham, topmost in Vaikuntha realm is this Goloka Dham. This is authoritative statement of scripture that corroborates the same message as this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, the emperor verse amongst all the verses. That's the basis, you know, for those devotees that are a little bit newer. That's the basis why we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse, out of the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And amongst the pramanas, or evidences, this Srimad Bhagavatam is superlative. If you want to know why that statement is made, listen to the recordings of the Tattva Sandarbha seminar that I'll be giving in Thanksgiving weekend. Or read the book, Tattva Sandarbha Pramanakanda, the first, whatever it is, 26 verses. Then you'll have a clear understanding why. At least from the perspective of Lord Chaitanya and the followers of Lord Chaitanya, especially Jiva Goswami, and then following Jiva Goswami, the other acharyas in which we are in that line, why the Srimad Bhagavatam amongst the Puranas and amongst all the Vedas is accepted as the superlative pramana or evidence. It's the Supreme Court. It's the topmost evidence. We accept it. We don't question the Supreme Court. We don't question the superlative pramana. And that's the basis upon which we accept Krishna as the original personality guided. And, you know, in the final analysis, in one sense, it's not like, you know, it's not snobbery. We're not thinking, well, you know, Rama's nice, but he's not as nice as Krishna. But it's not snobbery. It's we honor Ram Nomi, and we honor Sringa Chaturdasi, and, you know, Vraha Dwadasi, and we honor the appearances of the Supreme Lord. They're the Supreme Lord and his direct expansions. But we especially have a big festival on Krishna Janmashtami today because Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. And it's a very auspicious day. Nice. The verse after, it's hard to stop. The verse after this 28 comes 29. And I'll just read the translation of 29. Whoever carefully recites the mysterious appearances of the Lord with devotion in the morning and in the evening gets relief from all miseries of life. So we're doing it in the morning. Let's do it again in the evening. And follow the advice of Sutta Goswami, speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. And we can do it in the course of the day too. Not only morning, evening. We'll have lots of services to take care of during the day. Any discussion? Or questions? Or anything? Yes?
So you said there is an abode in the Vaikuntha Lok for all the incarnations. So I was wondering, like, for all the 10 principal incarnations.
All the which?
All the 10 principal incarnations.
Those are just not principal. Those are Leela avatars. That's one of the categories.
So every, like Vaman avatar, everybody had their.
Yeah, they have their. Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has his eternal position in Goloka, in that portion of Goloka called Svetadvip. In Bhagavad Gita. Yes.
So I was wondering why they do not differentiate why it's like other Krishnas in other Sampradaya, like Sri Sampradaya. They don't kind of find that difference, like why we say.
Well, they don't have the same. They're following their Sampradaya.
They have the Vishnu.
They're following their Sampradaya. And their Sampradaya has as its principal authority Vishnu Purana. And in the Vishnu Purana, emphasis is given not to this, emphasis is given to Narayana and the avatars of Narayana, which is not a wrong statement. It's a pure, true statement. And that's their authority, and they follow. And not only the scripture, but then their acharyas. Some of them do. But you know, even it's, yes. The Pallava Sampradaya, they, you know, Krishna. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the previous great Acharya, Madhvacharya, would it be Krishna? With other forms of the Lord surrounding him, but the central deity in the central temple is Krishna. But, you know, we're not interested in... Our position is not to quibble. Our position is to worship. And we should know why we worship the way that we worship. And others that worship forms of the Supreme Lord, we're happy they're worshiping the forms of the Supreme Lord. It's not a holier-than-thou snobbery. It's just why we do what we do. There's a basis for it. And we should be clear what the basis for it is. And we respect and honor others that worship as they worship, following a proper disciplic succession, especially. Yes?
I heard you speak about this before, that some of the incarnations do not have necessarily a spiritual abode, such as Nrsimhadev.
He has a spiritual abode. Have I said that? He doesn't have a spiritual abode?
There's a distinction between, I heard you say something about Naimittika Avatar or something like that.
I can't recall what I said in the past. You know, look on the cover of...
It's not, I've seen the cover and has nothing up there.
Yeah, he has his abode. It may be some technical point made by one of our acharyas in his commentaries, and exactly what that says, I'd have to go back and look at what the commentary says before I could elaborate further. Have their abode. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it indicates specifically that in very ecstatic message, that as the bhakti of the worshippers of the Lord hold bhakti in their heart, they see the Lord in that form. Not necessarily, you know, far-armed Narayana form in the abode of Sri Nrisimha. They, according to their bhakti, they see. Something else? Yes?
Mm. And somebody asked me this question. So on one side we say that, and on the other side women are not allowed to worship Shalagram Shiva. How to explain that?
It's two things. It's a matter of respect for those who hold their faith that custom is observed. Part two, great acharyas have done differently. You know, in Jagannath Puri, for example, I mean, without long, elaborate discussion, they hold a certain practice with long-standing tradition based upon the Purushottama Kanda of Skanda Purana, and they do that way. When Ramanujacharya went to reform, they're not doing according to the Panchatantriki Vidhi. Lord Jagannath indicated, there are different stories that indicate how he indicated, but he likes that worship. So they worship in a particular way. And Jagannath likes that worship. That's at least our understanding. And even in that case where he likes the particular form of worship, Krishna. A few generations after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ganga Mata Goswamini was sent by a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit who was residing in Vrindavan to go to Puri and worship the Shila that was previously worshipped by Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, but now was not being properly worshipped. So he transgressed what was the standard. And, you know, the standard was, whoa, you don't do that. Women don't worship Shalagram Shila. But she was so exalted, following the order of her guru, she did it, and she became accepted because of her qualification, not her birth. However, in a general sense, we don't fly in the face of or challenge generally that, you know, the spirit of faith of someone. We honor that generally. And great acharyas understand that principle. There's details, but, you know, that's the principle. Anything else? Yes?
As per my understanding, the Lord Krishna appears in his original form only once in a day of Brahma.
Correct. So what happens the other 999 yugas? That's your question? Vasudeva Krishna. The Vrindavan pastimes are not exhibited. Yes.
So you said Vrindavan pastimes is not exhibited. So I was just curious to know, like, what type of, if Vasudeva Krishna comes, like, what are the pastimes or the...
Other than the Vrindavan pastimes are his pastimes.
Like Dwaraka.
What Prabhupada explained, he didn't go into the detail of, you know, the other 999, these are the pastimes, etc., etc. Rather, he explained that in each yuga, there are, he used the word spool. And, you know, one way of spool is a thread is wound on a spool. And then you unwind the thread and it's just a thread from the spool. Another, at the time, at least my sense was, moving pictures were kept on a spool. Similar as a spool of thread, but film that would then pass through a light source and a magnification lens and it would project on the silver screen. So the spool of Krishna's pastimes, Prabhupada, the spool of Krishna's pastimes would have a certain theme, but they would be variegated. Because variety is the mother of enjoyment. That was Prabhupada's explanation. So there's a certain theme to Krishna's pastime, but there's variety in within the theme of Krishna's pastimes. In Vrindavan and outside Vrindavan as well. You have another one coming. Go ahead. Wherever Krishna is, Arjuna is there. Wherever Arjuna, he doesn't go anywhere where Krishna isn't. He's wherever Krishna is. There are eternal associates of Krishna in his Bhauma Lila. How that plays itself out with some variety.
Different
stories. Same themes, especially the bhava, the emotion, the transcendental feeling of love for Krishna is there. And there's variety. Like something that I've always pondered with no answer is Krishna says to Arjuna, you were there when I spoke to the sun god Vivaswan. You know, what was that like? No answer. Because we don't have that from our acharyas. But Arjuna was there. So what was that? So, and that the same bhava is there. Because he's such an intimate associate of Krishna. He loves Krishna, and Krishna loves Arjuna. He's there. Nara Narayana. It's Arjuna. The Nara portion, he's there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.